Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday Nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message.
What's up, crew? How we doing? So you got to understand that Monday nights used to just be like our community in my dad's garage. And so I never think anyone's ever going to come. And then we show up tonight and some of you are waiting at the door and we're already packed in our first one. What's happening? There is a hunger being stirred in this county for Jesus. There's a hunger in this county being stirred from Jesus. What I love about it is it's not about a church, just one building. It's not about just a ministry. It's about the church. It's about what God is doing in and through churches all around this county to see the lost saved. Now tonight, I'm excited. I got a couple of things I want to bring you into. If you're brand new, we're the Circuit Riders. We're a YWAM community. We're a missions community. This is our community gathering. My name is Nick Brent. I'm one of the senior leaders here. We love you. You're awesome. Now, if you have no idea, what is Circuit Riders? Well, right now, this is what it looks like. It looks about 200 full-time missionaries. We raise our own support, and we give our full time to reaching university students and high school students all across America, Europe, East Africa, and God willing, Australia and New Zealand soon. And so we're part of a much broader Youth for the Mission movement, which has like 1,600 operating locations, 30,000 missionaries doing every kind of mission you can imagine all around the world. We have dear friends right now who are hiking in the Himalayan mountains, bringing the Bible and the gospel message to people who've never even heard the name of Jesus before. They don't even know what a church is. They don't even know what a Christian is. They don't even know what you are. They don't know, have zero context for anything happening tonight. We have friends in the Middle East. In fact, we have a whole team right now who's going to be in the Middle East training hundreds of young Middle Eastern youth literally over the next a few weeks on how to be evangelists in their context. I don't want to talk too much about it because I want them to stay safe. We have things happening all over, but this is our local missions gathering. So we don't want to be just missionaries to the world. We want to be missionaries where we live. Missionaries, I don't know if you've been around, you know, maybe I love missions trip. Anyone ever been on a missions trip? Like you kind of go and you weep and you like take pictures and stuff and you do some good stuff. Like, no, good stuff does happen, right? Like sometimes you build something, sometimes you preach the gospel, but that's awesome. We love that week, that 2 weeks, but what we believe about Christianity is that it's a missional life. It's a missional life that you don't exit like, okay, you know, this summer from July 1st to July 18th, I'm going to be a missionary. The rest of the year, I'm just going to chill and try not to sin super bad. And I'll go to church when the guilt meter goes up high enough that I need to go and like get the guilt meter to come down. And I'll join a small group and confess the same sin every single week. And then I'll, right? That is such a low bar of what Jesus came and died for all of us to live. He died so that we could be alive, so that we could be free, so we could find our purpose, so we could find our voice and preach his message. And I think that there's something inside of you that must resonate because that's why you keep coming. There's this something inside of you that goes, you know, I think I'm meant to live this kind of missional life. So I don't have all the language for it, Nick, but yeah, everything you just said is about right. That sounds good for me. I think that's what's happening here now. So I want to bring you, before we even get into our message, I want to bring you into some vision where we're going this fall. I know some of you, how many of you were at the last like season of Monday nights? You were, you've been to a Monday night before. Give me, come on, really raise your hand, cooperate with me so I can see. All right, this is amazing. Love it. Love it. Okay. If this is just really, just be super bold. If this is like your first time someone dragged you here, you don't have, I just want to see your hand. I couldn't quite see before. It's kind of dark. Okay. This is amazing. You're welcome. We're so happy you're here. We're so happy you're here. So here's the deal. I want to bring you into some, I want to cast some vision. I know I'm not like your leader, or maybe this isn't your community for a moment, but you're part of the broader community, so I'm going to go ahead and cast some vision because that's what leaders do. And so part of what's happening here this fall is that there's some agendas that the Circuit Riders have in our heart. There's some things that we're desperate for. There's some things that, yes, we want to have an awesome Monday night. We want you to worship with us. We want to preach. But there's some things deeper in our heart that we really don't care what, if we're looking cool enough for the live stream or if we're preaching a polished message enough or if we're growing this. This was never about growing something. This was always about just gathering our community to worship Jesus and go after breakthrough. And so there's a few different breakthroughs that like we are crying out for. Like we're gathering every other week as a community praying, like no band, nothing, just pacing the floor in here praying. We pray already three other times a week at our greenhouse that we're pressing in for breakthrough. Number one is we're believing for a breakthrough of evangelism here in Orange County and across the nation on universities and high school campuses. We believe that there has to be a breakthrough for a generation. That we can't just kind of keep gathering and keep kind of adding, you know, oh, we got 5 more and 10 more. I celebrate those victories, man. One guy gets saved, I'm in tears. I'm that guy. I'm the guy who watches the altar calls online and cries as people are coming forward, like from 1980 still. I'm crying about the guy who got saved in 1980. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're so good. Like, I love it, but we got to have a breakthrough. We got to have a breakthrough. Some of the statistics are that sometimes 95 to 99% of the average university campus is not engaged in any kind of group or organization. That means I'm walking onto OCC or I'm walking over to USC or walking onto UCLA and 1% of the whole campus is engaged in some kind of Christian group. 99, so maybe some of you go to churches aren't involved in a group, but maybe that like 95% of the campus is not walking in their relationship with Jesus. We can't afford a few more people being added to our church services here and there. We need revival. We need evangelism. We need hundreds and even thousands of students giving life to Jesus. We walk into high schools. Isn't there a war over high school students? It's like every other week there's another headline in the news about another major controversy breaking out in high schools. Mental health, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, suicide, mass shootings, all kinds of horrible things taking place, battling for the soul of a generation. We need to see high schoolers raised up with the message of Jesus and whole high schools coming into revival. And we have to talk this way because sometimes we get so conditioned to set our hopes so low in Christianity. You know, I hope we grow like, you know, 10% more this year and we get our ads right and, you know, we get the fog machine out and the new LED and we kind of swirled up. And if I get 3 points that can help you, maybe we'll grow this thing. But guys, we need something so much more than all of those things. I mean, I love youth group. Like, dude, I love youth group. Went to youth groups, led a youth group, did my own youth Bible study, the whole thing. Love it. Amazing. But I'm telling you, Xboxes and PlayStations and games is not going to win the heart of a generation. It's not. I mean, really, is that what you want? I mean, we got all of that. It's just playing Fortnite in a church building, you know, like that much better than playing at home. It's like, you know what I mean? Like now it's weird because your pastor's watching you play and you're like, is that really the plan of evangelism for a generation? No. We have to have such a broader message to go, listen, 16-year-old, your life matters. Right? You talk like an adult on TikTok. You know, like you know everything that I didn't know. Like, dude, at 18, I'm learning things that you're learning at 13. Like, you're exposed to so much. Like, the worst thing that happened in my high school was like that one kid who sold weed. And it was like, you know, don't buy things from him. And that was it. Like, that was like all you had to do. And you're like, you're good. And you have that one guy who like used profanity like crazy and you stay away, like don't use profanity, you're good. But now today the temptations are unbelievable. At every step and turn and nothing but a wholehearted surrender is a message worthy enough for capturing a high school student's heart and mind. And we got to cast a vision for high school students be burning for revival for their high school. Burning in prayer, sharing the gospel with their friends. Wouldn't it be amazing? Headline in Orange County. Edison High School. Hundreds gathering during lunch worshiping Jesus. Huntington Beach High. Stadium. No longer for football. They're gathering for student worship services. So many people getting sent free for Jesus. Well, this has happened in history. Why couldn't it happen today? See, so much of how Christianity moves forward is people just bold enough to believe that God can really do what he says he wants to do. and they come into agreement, they cooperate with him, they believe and they step forward, and God does things that we can't believe. Yes, I'm willing to sow, and yes, I'm willing to walk slowly, and yes, I'm ready for small beginnings. But what about all of a sudden if God does something more than a small beginning? And shouldn't we hope in our heart and pray in our heart for something bigger than a small beginning? Yes. So the first thing is we need a breakthrough of evangelism, and all of us have to be a part of it. If you're coming to our Monday nights, we want to invite you to be a part of that breakthrough with us. Number two, we believe in the Holy Spirit on Monday nights. And maybe you're from a church that they don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know what tradition you're from. I love pretty much all of them. I've learned from a teacher from all of them. Guarantee whatever church you're from, I listen to a podcast from someone in that stream. I love everybody from the Reform guys all the way to the Arminian guys and the Charismatic guys and the guys who don't even believe God's moving anymore in that way. I listen to everybody and learn tons about the Bible. I love it. But for Monday night, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we're going to get into this more next week, but the Greek word for salvation is sozo, saved, healed, and delivered. And we would be lying to you if we didn't tell you that we see physical healing happen all across America when we travel. We'd be lying to you if we didn't see people get radically delivered from demonic oppression. If we were being honest with you, we would be lying to you if we didn't tell you that people get radically saved. That's unexplainable. Them falling to their knees, weeping, giving their life to Jesus when just 60 minutes earlier, they wanted nothing to do with God and their friend dragged them into a room. See, this is what our God is doing. This is what God is doing through young people. And we're believing for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that language means, we're believing that God would show up so overwhelmingly in our meetings that God would begin to do things for people that I cannot do. My sermon cannot set you free. Jesus can set you free. Right? My sermon cannot save you, but Jesus can save you. My sermon falls so short almost every single time of what I'm hoping that only God can do in your life. And we're desperate for God to move. And so we're crying out. We're gathering Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Thursday nights as a community, crying out, saying, Jesus, move in our community and move in this county. The last thing is this, is we are in love with Jesus. And I say this for last because this is the most important thing, is our community right now, we just want to make sure Jesus is first in our life. We just have this thing in our heart like, Jesus, you have to be number one, because if you're not number one, if you're not the sole reason I'm living, if you're not the vision of my life, if loving you or loving something else is more important, I don't even want to move forward. I don't want to move forward in my life without you, Jesus. And so we want his presence to go before us. We want our worship and overflow. We don't always be getting up in the morning, just running out and doing weeks and weeks and weeks of life. And then we're like, oh yeah, God. Oh yeah, God. We can even show up to church and still live in that way like we kind of gave God. It's like that old Keith Green analogy where it's like we visit God in prison on Sundays. Like he kind of belongs in the church and we kind of go visit. We're like, hey, what's up, God? Doing good? I'm doing good. My life's amazing. Pound it. Woo. All right. Back to my life and the rest of my life. It's like every day. What does Monday look like if God's leading my life? What does Tuesday night look like if Jesus' love is overflowing out of my heart? How does that affect my Bible reading? How does that affect my worship? How does that affect my prayer? We're after Jesus being the main thing. And so if you're part of Monday nights, this is where we're going this fall. If you're going to be part of Monday nights this year, we're just going to start boldly challenging you to come with us and do things. Some of you just need to leave all your fear behind and step onto a university campus in California and start sharing the gospel for the first time. And so many chains of fear that you've been trying to get off of you for years are going to break off in an instant, and you're going to realize your purpose here on earth. Some of you, we're believing that you're going to come and you're going to experience something so powerful that my words can't communicate. And you're going to get up off the floor and you're like, I don't know, I fell over, I was weeping. All I know is that God loves me and he's so much bigger than I thought. Some of you are going to be like, I never thought I would be that guy saying I can't be with you guys tonight. I can't hang because I'm just addicted to my word. Yeah. Like that's so foreign to some of us. And you're like, dude, I don't want to go in and out. I'm just glued to John right now. And Jesus is saying crazy stuff and he's moving my heart. And I'm just praying all night. Something's happening in my spirit. I don't even want to go to class tomorrow. I just want to be with Jesus. This is where we're going. This is what I'm believing for. For each of you. How does that sound? So we want to We want to get into a series, and my job is to intro the series tonight, so I don't know how long we'll go, we'll see. I always say I'll go short and I go long, so we'll see, all right? But we want to jump into a series because it's connected to everything I just talked about. We want to talk about this idea of freedom. Freedom in Christ over the next number of weeks. We don't just want to park on it for a night. We want to park in a series because part of freedom is each of you coming into your identity. Part of freedom is the things that are holding you back from everything I'm talking about ripping those things off. And sometimes we say a lot of things about freedom, but there's not like an understanding of what it means. I think in our generation right now, like mental health is like a major buzzword. I mean, like it is like the thing. How many of you have ever at least followed one mental health Instagram account? Anybody here? Just be honest. It's all right. Just raise your hand. That was so embarrassed. Come on. Raise your hand. You follow an Instagram. Okay. All right. Amazing. How many of you, you don't, but you've scoped some and you've tried to like self-diagnose. You're like, man, do I got, you know, oh man. And it's like always the craziest, longest name. You're like, I do kind of sometimes hate my fingernails. Is that connected to? Oh my gosh. You know, you're just like, how many of you have ever had these moments, right? Mental health, like we can buy clothes that, like, I love those brands. It's like, you know, Stoked or whatever's going on, some crazy word. It's like raising money and awareness for mental health. I love all of that, but I want to get into it. I want to dive into the conversation because I don't want it to be a fad. We want it to be real. I want to read a couple articles to you. One is from 2019. It's from the American Psychological Association. So, pretty good, like pretty good source. It's a little better than TikTok, but, right? So, like, I'm not getting this from Instagram. Like, this is from real people. It says this. This generation is also significantly more likely, talking about Gen Z, than any other, than other generations, including millennials and Gen Xers, to report their mental health as fair or poor. They were also more likely, along with millennials, to report that they have received treatment or therapy from a mental health professional, compared with only 26% of Gen Xers and 22% of baby boomers. And then they went into this whole thing about how COVID just accelerated the decline of mental health. I don't know how many of you maybe can be honest. Like, I won't make you raise your hand, but if you were honest, like, COVID was a bad time. Like, COVID is like not like an ESPN replay you want to watch of your personal life and all your decisions. You're like, oh, yeah, I asked God to erase those files. I'm still working on deleting those files. There's a lot that went wrong during that time. And this is what the stats say. It says, current events are clearly stressful forever in the country, talking about that time. But young people are really feeling the impact of the issues in the news, particularly those issues that may feel beyond their control. At the same time, the high percentage of Gen Z reporting fair or poor mental health could be an indicator that they're more aware of accepting their mental health issues. Their openness to mental health topics represents an opportunity to start discussions. So they're talking about it. But then it goes on to say that the sky, that those who are planning, ideating, or thinking about suicide began to skyrocket. And so, yeah, we're talking about it. But it doesn't seem like we're fixing anything. Like, it seems like we're going and we're talking about it more, but why is it continuing to be something that just keeps coming back up? It's like we keep rearranging the furniture, but something deeper is wrong. They did a study, Barna did this study about Gen Z, if they were satisfied with their life, and only one third of the people participating in the study said, I'm satisfied with my life. They said, are you satisfied in your relationships? Like, are you getting fruit and love out of your relationships? Do you feel fulfilled in your relationships? And only one third says, yeah, I feel fulfilled in my relationships. So you're telling me right now that two-thirds of this room potentially tonight, you are dissatisfied with your life and you are dissatisfied with your relationships. Meaning that you're saying, I am not thriving. I am making it. I am not thriving right now. I am just getting till tomorrow. I'm just getting till next week. And I think we've seen all these movements try to deal with this problem. Like all over social media is like the self-care movement, self-love, which I'm all about, like self-care and self-love. Like, I love it. Like yesterday, I got some self-care in. I bought boba. It was amazing. Right? I was a vehement opponent, persecutor of the boba movement. My brother Josh over there, wave Josh, made me try his boba, which I did with like a cringy, scared face because there was those creepy little chewy balls in it. And that big straw, and I had it. I was like, this is amazing. And now I've had one every day. So I'm all for boba now. I need to repent to the live stream. I think I made a joke about it. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. All right. So, but what's funny about it though is it gets so intense. I literally see people online. Someone showed me an Instagram post last night and the girl listed 12 different major psychological categories that were wrong with her. And I'm like, you know what? I'm all for, like, if you have a real mental health and you're really diagnosed by a professional, that's important, that's serious, take that seriously. But you shouldn't be going up on WebMD and going, I have anxiety, and looking through all the different things and prescribing yourself all the things that could be wrong with you. Right? That's kind of, have you ever, like, looked up your symptoms on WebMD and thought you were going to die?
Yeah.
Like, every single time. And it seems like they're trying all these different things, like kind of confessions over yourself and taking more time off. And, you know, the answer of like anyone's making you mad is just like they're toxic, cut them off. It's like we call everybody toxic. Everybody's a narcissist. Everybody's abusive. Everybody, you know, your mom is abusive and she just asks you to like pay your bills. You know, it's like that's not abusive. She just wants you to live and not be homeless one day. And right, and there's all this like buzz around, and it seems like we keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, but we're not getting healed. We're just managing our brokenness. We're just finding new ways to kind of try to push it down so that we can keep living in a more healthy way. Then there's like this whole hustle culture, which I probably would be most tempted to fall into, right? You see like this whole movement, like everything is about 4 a.m., I woke up. I didn't drink one smoothie. I had two smoothies. I don't drink coffee. I chew the beans. I then proceeded to a 6-mile run, headed to LA Fitness and did a workout there. But because I want to be impactful, I went to another gym after that to do CrossFit over there, 7 a.m. I went back to my office. I've emailed 1,000 people. I then read my entire Bible in one sitting. Noon. You know, it's like, whoa, noon. What? This is crazy. Then I proceed to get a law degree. And I'm a doctor. And I'm a pastor. And I'm rich. You know, it's like so crazy. And I document all that on my TikTok. Follow. You know, it's like, oh. It's like this hustle culture is like, do, and maybe if we do enough, I'll be better. Maybe I just work my way out of this, but we're not healing anything. We're just distracting from our pain. Because as soon as you're done working and you're left with yourself, man, to anyone who's a hustler like myself, being alone, man, back in the day was like the worst death sentence, isn't it? You're like being alone with your thoughts all by yourself at night. And if you're not thinking about doing more, or you can't do more, and that's all your conversations are around, and you're just sitting there and you're having to think about something deep, you're like, what is love? Who am I? God help me! I need to make something! I need to buy something! I need to do something! I need to make some money! We do all these things, but we're just distracting. We're not fixing the problem. And then there's like the culture that's been around forever. Like, I just call it party culture. Which is just like straight up, I'm gonna do whatever I want, and you know what? I love Jesus, but I just want to go find the ganja, and I want to just freaking go crazy at the bar, and then I'm going to go over and just have tons of beers at my friend's house, and then I'm super lonely at night, so I'm just going to watch pornography, and then I'm going to run over here, and I'm just going to hang out with my friends all the time, and then I'm going to go over here and just complain about my work, but try to make as much money so I can party again this weekend, and I want to find some other friends who can get me access to better parties, and I'm going to start a new relationship, and this relationship will be fulfilled, and I'm going to go for the dating apps, maybe I can get some like quick romances in, and some quick hookup moments, and then, you know, but oh, I feel guilty, and I'm going to come back to church and apologize again. You treat church service kind of like confessional with the Catholics. You're like, I'm super sorry, God. You know my heart. You work all things for good. You start using fake Bible verses to like somehow justify that God is with you and all your rebellion and brokenness. And you're like, man, God, you know, I'm just building my testimony. One day it's going to be so powerful for you. Right, like, how many of you had a friend? I remember I had a friend in college. He's like, I'm like, what are you studying for? He's like, I'm studying to be a pastor. I was like, dude, you are like a horrible person. I literally told him I had no filter back then. I think I don't still, but back then even more so. And I was like, we don't need pastors like you. Like, get a different degree, you know? But the problem with all that is you're not getting healed either. You're not getting free. You're just medicating your problem. And as soon as you're done medicating your problem, it grows back and it seems like it actually gets worse. Why is it the more that we try to fix it ourselves, it seems like the worse it actually gets? And so there has to be something that we're all searching for. I think there's something the whole generation, even if they have no context for Christianity, even if they have no context for Jesus, isn't it amazing, even through all our own ways and all our own brokenness, really the whole generation is searching for one thing, freedom. And it's something they were actually created for. It's something they were created for in the beginning. And they don't even know it, but their heart is longing for it, looking for it in all these places. They don't even know why they have the desire. But what they're really looking for is freedom that only can be found in Jesus. Because we were created for God. And when we were connected to him, we were free. We are free from sin. We are free from all these gnarly thoughts. We are free from all these habits and all these things that we do. But as soon as we broke that relationship, that's when we became bound by sin. That's where all the negativity comes from. That's where all the negative self-talk, that's where all the tormenting dreams and horrible oppression and horrible things that we think about ourselves and things that we say and all the torment that lives inside of our soul comes from. But if we don't reach out to Jesus, we're never going to find freedom. Can I read a passage of scripture to you? It's 2 Corinthians, 3:16 verses 18. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's this powerful scripture where Paul is talking about how in Jesus, the presence of God that used to be veiled in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the only way that you could get to God was through the priest, was through like this whole temple system. It's way beyond anything I can explain tonight. But now in the New Testament, because of what Jesus has done, through Jesus, you have direct access to God, direct access to his glory, direct access to his presence and his freedom. And so he's saying in Jesus right now, the veil is torn and you can have direct access to freedom. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is freedom. Where Jesus is, there is freedom. So it's not in the self-care, it's not in hustling, it's not in party, and even if you go to a counselor, a real counselor, they're going to point you to Jesus. That even their counseling should lead you to Jesus. That is where the answer ultimately only can come for your freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, this idea of freedom comes from this big theological word, sanctification, right? So when you get saved, this is what happens. When you get saved, there's this big word they use, regeneration. It means that your old spirit, right, your flesh, everything that began to rule you before you were connected to God gets completely broken off. You get reborn and you're instantly reconnected back to God. So at salvation, you get, bam, reconnected. But how many of you have gotten saved and been disappointed that you still are you? Right, you went back, your family's still jacked up. You went back, you're still jacked up. Right? And you're like, what happened? Well, no, what happened in salvation is you started the journey. You got reconnected. The next part of the journey is called sanctification. It's where now God leading you is leading you to look more and more like Jesus. Yeah. See, the key to becoming free is actually becoming more like Jesus. How many ever heard that, like, you behold, what you behold, you become? How many heard this, like, a sermon series, like, you behold what you become? And, like, it's so mystical. You're like, what does that mean? Do I imagine Jesus? And I'm, like, in my room, like, Jesus, the shepherd. Am I becoming a shepherd now? Like, what's happening? Right? It's awesome language. Love it. But what does it mean? It means that when you make Jesus your model and your leader, whatever you make your example that you want to become is what you're going to become. Whatever you set your focus on is what's going to guide your life. And at salvation, you say, Jesus, you are now my model. Jesus, you are now my Lord. Jesus, now you are my leader. I am following you. And as you follow him in that process, the more and more you become like him, the more and more free you become. And I'm going to continue to explain this to you in a little bit. And see, the opposite of freedom, it goes against everything we think, because kind of in our flesh, like, rebellion seems to be freedom. Like, I just want to throw off everything. I want to be free. Like, how many of a personality, like, you hate being boxed in? We just did, like, a personality test thing in our community. And every time I do personality tests, there's always that one personality who hates having a personality. They're undefinable. Don't define me. Don't box me in. I'm nothing. I'm everything. You know, it's like, whoa. What's, bro, like, what, like, what's happening? How many of you ever been, like, in a teacher's classroom? It's so stiff in there, and you just gotta crack some jokes. Like, you can't follow all the rules. Like, I have a problem when I go to, like, super serious church. I know I need freedom. That's why we're doing a series on freedom. I'm still getting free, just so you know. And I was at a church one time, and it was a really, really serious church. I mean, like so much, like, no one says amen, nothing. Like, you sit there, like, you don't move. Pews, the whole thing. And when I'm in really serious environments, something in me wants to rebel. That's why these nights are kind of wild. That's my personality. So, I just want to rebel. Like, I just want to do something crazy. And so usually it starts with cracking a joke about how serious it is. And I remember the person gets up there and says, like, the most, in my mind, corny intro line to the service. That, like, you know, like, basically repeated verbatim like a Christian meme. You know, like, let go and let God. And I was like, I'm out. I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know. What does that even mean? I don't even know. You know, I'm just like, oh, goodness. And I start busting up laughing. I start laughing so hard, I have to fake getting to my knees like I'm praying. Literally, people think I'm weeping under the sermon. I am not. I am trying to hide my intense laughter. Because there's something in us that goes like, the rules are a ripoff. The rules are a ripoff. Lord, these are so intense. Like, all these New Testament commands, all these principles from the Old Testament. Like, this is kind of a ripoff. Don't you just love me and are, like, free to rumble with me? And we can just run and be free and just do crazy stuff. And God, you'll forgive me no matter what. And as long as I love you, we're Gucci. Well, you can try to do that, but the problem is you're going to be bound the entire time. And eventually when you do whatever you want, but you say you love God, there will be a day where you go, this doesn't work. And you'll have two reactions. Reaction number one, you'll say, Jesus, peace. I tried this. It didn't work. Or number two, you go, you know what? I never really actually tried it because I didn't surrender. So the beginning of the freedom journey is always surrender. So you actually get more free the more you say, you know what? I'm done living the way I want to live. And I want to begin to start living like you, Jesus. See, what's so crazy is I remember guys on my soccer team, they wouldn't believe that I wouldn't sleep around. They wouldn't believe I didn't look at pornography. And to them, it was like, man, I wasn't living. I must be so not free. And they were so free. But why were they always tormented and calling me for prayer? But I always had peace. I remember the same thing in my dorm hall. Everybody made fun of me a little bit. They kind of mocked me and called me the Rev. Like, remember the Titans. And they kind of trolled me. Different things, you know, but I loved all the guys in the hall. We had a crazy hall. It was a Christian school, but for whatever reason, like every, I was like four Christians. I mean, everybody was crazy. We had a guy one time come back to the dorm, and I don't know what he was tripping on, but he was screaming for his life, running from dinosaurs. So I'm pretty sure he wasn't playing pretend. I'm pretty sure that he had consumed something that was causing him to be afraid, and guys were chasing him as dinosaurs, and he was hiding under a bed, and he was in the fetal position. And yeah, that was a typical night on my hall. And there's Rev in the middle of it. The very end of the year, this guy, the dinosaur man, was kind of the ringleader of all the gnarliness. And we have this kind of breaking point as a hall. Something really terrible happens on our hall, and they all want to come to my Bible study suddenly. And the guy that was doing every crazy thing imaginable and bragging about it and making fun of me in the end goes, Nick, I need to be more honest with you. When I was looking at your life, I've been jealous this whole time. When I look at your life, it's everything that I want, but I just have not decided to do. Because you're free and I'm not. See, there's something about that you're never going to get free unless you stop right now and you realize this is not a bunch of tips like self-care to help you get free. This is a real transaction and a real relationship with Jesus that you actually have to surrender to and say, God, I trust you to lead my life. Like, that means that you have to actually change your mind. You have to change your thought patterns. You have to change your decisions. You have to change your choices. And you don't get to lead your life. And the question is, do you want to lead? Well, if you want to lead, take your chances on freedom. The Bible says you'll never find it. That's my conviction too. Or B, surrender your life to Jesus and be led into a journey of freedom that you cannot believe. Some of you can't even imagine what it's like to lay on your pillow and be satisfied in your soul. Like some of you are so addicted to needing to become something because you hate who you are right now. So many of you are living so intently to please somebody, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your friends. I don't know who it is, but can you imagine just like, I don't need to please anybody. And not out of like, screw you, I don't want to be around you, you guys suck. No, what about just loving your heart? Like, I love you, but I'm happy with me. Can you imagine some of you, like, you walk in the room and you're a chameleon. You changed for everybody. You don't even know who you are. You've been someone different every day of your life, depending on your friend group. Can you imagine being free and actually discovering who you really are? This is the offer that Jesus wants to give every single one of you. Luke 4:18 says, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. See, we are free because Jesus has paid the price for our freedom. His death and his resurrection has paid the price for us to be reconnected and actually have authority to break off all the sin that is causing all the lack of freedom and bondage in our life. Number one, he's delivered you from the penalty of sin. So everything you deserve for all your choices in Jesus, you don't deserve him anymore. He took them on himself. So that means all the repercussions you should pay your whole life, Jesus can take that in a moment when you surrender to him. Number two, he sets you free from the power of sin. Because when you're not in Jesus, the real truth is that the Bible says that you have a master and that master is sin. Like, it's not like you kind of like there's like the bad guys and then there's the guys who are doing pretty good and then the good guys and then the really good guys. And there's just two camps in the scripture. You're either bound by sin, meaning right now, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're saying, your sin nature is going to continue to win it out. Maybe you have a good week, maybe you have a good day, maybe you have a good month, a good year, but at some point that sin is going to lead you off the road again. It's only in Christ can he set you free from the power of that sin. Some of you are so afraid when those temptations come because you know it's going to take you out. But in Jesus, you never have to be afraid of temptation again. You never have to be afraid of the attacks of the enemy again. Some of you are so superstitious about demons, you're scared about demons. Like, you watch those creepy YouTube videos at night about that aren't even biblical, about like crazy looking demons. You're like, do I have a Leviathan spirit on me? Like, you're like making up, like you're doing crazy weird YouTube prayers and all this stuff because you're afraid of demons. But in Jesus, you don't need to be afraid of demons. You have power over the enemy in your life. Now, here's where like I feel like some confusion can kind of come in. Because you are free right now when you get saved. Like that, like in the moment of salvation, you are free before God. Like free. But you're not going to be totally free until you are actually with him. And the rest of your life, we actually have to walk out our freedom. Like, how many of you had a moment? We do this. It's not bad because sometimes God does set people free in an instant. But how many of you have been in a night and everyone's like going crazy, singing their favorite song, and they're like, they're calling out freedom from anxiety, freedom from depression, freedom from anger, freedom from this, freedom from that, freedom from this. And the next day you wake up and it's still there. And so immediately you're like, Lord, like, what did I do wrong? And oh man, I knew you hated me. It's actually like making you more unfree. You know, you're like, you're actually getting worse. You know, like the worst was supposed to help you, but you're like, oh my word. And then it's worse because one of your friends did get free. You're like, they got free in 1 minute. Why am I not free? God, what's going on? See, God can set you free in a moment and do all the work for you. But most often than not, I mean, I'm not God. I don't have his exact ratio, but I'm going to say from my experience, 90% or more of the time, he is going to make you walk out your freedom. Because here's the thing. If you don't know how you walked out of that process of freedom, how will you ever lead anyone else to freedom? See, some of you, God is going to make you overcome your giants so you can turn and say, giants can be overcome, and this is how you can do it. See, God isn't just freeing you. He's building a message inside of you. And then some of you, God just instantly takes care of it because he wants to have a testimony for his glory. It's up to him. And maybe the best analogy would be like this. Imagine you're in a prison and you have a life sentence. And someone comes over to your cell and says, hey, somebody's going to take your place in prison and live out the rest of your sentence. You're free. And they open the door. Right then, you are free. That's salvation. But you have to still walk out your freedom. You have to leave the prison. You have to get in your car. You have to go find a house and start living your life. But not only that, but you're probably having to peel back some layers of ways that you start thinking because you were in prison. And then if you're going to get really honest, you got to get to the core of like what was really going in your life to send you to prison in the first place. This is the process of freedom. You're free right now, but you still have to walk it out and become a new person. Is this making sense at all? Is this helping bring some clarity? We're basing this off of a book my dad wrote called The Freedom Manual. And, it's an amazing book. I'm going to read his definition of what freedom is. Discovering your identity and purpose in Jesus and tearing down every stronghold that opposes your ability to walk in the fullness of the identity and purpose. So freedom has two components. It's you understanding your identity, that you are somebody's, that you are something, that you've been made with a purpose. Two, discovering your purpose. And three, removing every hindrance from you fully living in your identity and living out your purpose. But there's going to be some things over the next few weeks that we're going to have to cover if we want to go like real deal free. Like, we don't want to just be like 7-Eleven free, all right? We don't want to be like, hey, here's a Slurpee. Here, you're kind of free. You know, like, in Jesus' name, I am free. Free, 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 free. Free, 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 free. Free, free. And then the next day, you're like cussing out your parents. That, you're not free. All right, I know no one does that here, and I hope you don't do that. I don't ordain that. But let's get real. There's some bondage in people's lives. And I know from circle of schools, because they come and confess it, like, if we all act like everyone in here has, like, rated maybe PG bondage. You know? Like, you were mean once. You know? You sent a spicy comment on someone's Instagram. You're a hurtful person. Jerk. You know, you're like, whoa. Crazy. But let's be honest about a lot of the brokenness around here. If I like got like a Holy Spirit lie detector test, an x-ray machine, and I was like, all right, young man, come up here. Whoa, all right, not for Monday night, not for the stage, not for the live stream. There's a lot of brokenness. And we're going to have to be honest so that we can deal with it, because I don't want you to have the appearance of freedom. I want you to be free. Because kind of part of Christianity is like, we can't be honest. How are you, brother? Excellent, brother. Why do we? I've never said excellent ever. What happened? How's your walk with Jesus? I'm walking with him as if in a garden. Wow. Or we give like the non-answer answers. Bro, how's your time been in the Bible? You know, God is so good, isn't he? There's so much dishonesty and like platitudes and really religion. But we got to have a moment to actually bear our soul before God, because God can only transform what we're willing to expose. And so like, he's always like kind of like fixing the front room of our house, you know, like coming in and kind of doing like basically like emergency surgery, right? Because that's like who wants to always get prayer at church. Like everything is falling apart. And we kind of think that, like, if I said, all right, we're going to have prayer teams line up right now. If you need prayer, please come forward. Almost everybody here goes like, man, I wonder what's going on in his life. What did he do? I knew it. I knew it. Right? It's like, right? There's got to be this shift of going, no, all of us are fallen and all of us need to get free. Guaranteed, our history is not squeaky clean, but that's okay. That's why we need Jesus. You can be here as long as you want to be free. That's the only condition. As long as you want to keep following Jesus, you can be here. But as soon as you're like, no, I want to keep this brokenness and I just want to be, do have all this gnarliness, that's where I'm like, hey, you got to, there's a line in the sand. You got to make a decision. Do you want to follow Jesus? You got to get rid of that. You can't carry that on. And that's the moment we have to come to together. And so here's some things that we can understand. Number one, we understand what the meaning and fullness of salvation is for our life. Like, actually have an understanding, because your freedom is rooted in salvation. You need to understand the calling and destiny Christ has for you. Right? Jesus has a real purpose for every single person in this room, like a real one that actually matters, that he designed before eternity. You need to know it. Number three, you need every ability to tear down strongholds. Not pray prayers like it's like Lord of the Rings, like Gandalf. Like some of you, that's how you pray. Lord, I humbly come before thee and I pray your power would swipe away. Like, no, you need more tools. How do you get free? How do you actually walk through in freedom? How do you deal with your sin? How do you deal with the thought pattern that comes back every day to haunt you? How do you like yourself? How do you receive God's love? How do you actually get rid of fear? How do you get healed from all the anger and bitterness inside of your heart? Like, there's got to be real steps, and we're going to make it practical. You need to understand the effects of absence of love and truth in your life. See, nearly every single negative thing that happens to each one of us, all the negative decisions we make and patterns we develop come from an absence of either love or truth in our life. Either no one told you and so you made a bunch of bad decisions, or maybe no one loved you well and so you made a bunch of bad decisions. We want to address those absences, and we want to fill you up with love and with truth, right? This Freedom Series is not the beatdown series. We're like, oh, man, going to go and get rebuked again for how much brokenness I have in my life. No, we believe you're coming because you want to get free of that brokenness, and we want to show you how to walk out of it. Number five, how does sin give the enemy jurisdiction or a place of power in your life? We want to explain like how when you sin and you make openly bad, rebellious decisions that you know are against God's will, that it actually opens up a place for the enemy in your life. Yeah. And you know what? What's so crazy is I know we don't ask these questions in church, but when I do polls about how many people they feel like have experienced something demonic when they did something really bad, it's crazy how many people raise their hand. It's almost 80% of every room of young people I ask, right? I think this generation knows there's the demonic. Like it sits right next to the Urban Outfitters counter, like how to conjure spirits. I mean, it's right there, the book, you know, good witches. What is that? I don't know. Good witches, conjuring demons for your good. Like that doesn't work. You know, this is, yeah, that's another sermon. Derek can preach that. So, some of you are like this guy. Yeah, I am that guy. And you're wrong, and I'm helping you. All right, number six. It's okay. I'm trying to help you. I want you to be actually free. Don't just get like a temporary fake freedom and more bound in the process. All right, six. You understand the power and simplicity of genuine repentance. Like, right, repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Some of you are so good at saying I'm sorry. Like you, I mean, there's a performance. I mean, it's weeping before God. I am so so, number one, just broken, God. I just want to say that first. I am broken. I don't even know who I've become. I know this isn't you, but I'm so sorry. Okay, all right. You know, it's like, but repentance is this Greek word metanoia, which means to change your mind. So to actually, repentance is not about just saying you're sorry, it's about actually changing. And changing is the proof that you're sorry. Like if I slapped you in the face, I'm like, I'm so sorry about that. Next day, psh, I'm so sorry. I don't know who I become. Next day, psh, you know, it's like at some point, you gotta be like, dude, I don't think you're sorry. All right. Number seven, understanding the power that is yours in Christ at salvation. So many of us walk around with like a bazooka in the spirit. Like the biggest 80s machine gun you have ever seen in whatever your favorite action movie is, walking around and you're scared of the enemy. You're like, whoa, whoa, darkness vibes, get away, get away. But you are carrying massive power in Jesus Christ to destroy everything tormenting you and walk your friends into freedom. Number seven, understanding the power that is yours. In, oh, I did that one. Sorry. Number eight. Last one, how to take back territory from the enemy in your life and your home. Some of you have lost things. You have lost your peace. You have lost your purity. You have lost your respect for yourself. You have lost relationships. You're lost in brokenness with your family right now. You're lost in your direction in life. You're lost in which way's up and which way's down, and every day your emotions are like a crazy roller coaster. We want to show you how do you gain those things back. Yeah. Can I tell you that there's hope if you have a tough family for restoration? Do you know how much restoration we see at Circ Riders and families? It's amazing. Every year we have at least one Circ Riders who's like parents, like hate God, get radically saved. We're like crying at Christmas. We're like, I love God. And we all get the text like, my parents just got radically saved. They're weeping and they like me now. You know, it's like, yes, amen. This is amazing. Like some of you maybe used to have like really amazing friends, but like there's a falling out. There can be restoration. I'm not saying you have to become best friends, but you can be good again. Right? Some of you have things that you've said and you've done to people that I want to show you how, or Derek or someone's going to show you how. How can you go back to those and never carry regret again? How can you make things right and walk forward and be done with your past instead of dragging it around afraid that someone's going to find out everything in your past? Wouldn't it be amazing to be in a dating relationship and you're free? Where you're like, oh, it's been 3 months. I got to get out of this thing because now I got to start talking about what's really going on. Like I've ran out of my talk track. Like we have talk tracks. Do you know you have talk tracks? Like you repeat the same stories. Like, guys especially, like, hey, you know, like, same four questions. It's
You know, in eighth grade one time, my teacher called me an ugly weirdo, and we all laughed. Aren't I cool? Oh, you know, it's like, what? No. Okay, that's crazy. That's weird. Don't do that. But that's another sermon. But it's like, dude, what about at 3 months you can say, hey, this isn't my past. I want you to know, but I've all been forgiven. I'm a brand new person right now. And I want to tell you who I'm becoming. I'm following Jesus. I'm a man of integrity. When I lead you in this relationship, you will have clarity. You will know that I'm not talking to anyone else. This relationship is safe. If this does not work out, it's not licensed for me to tell anybody anything else about this. I want you to know we will be going to church. We will be praying together. We're both reading our Bibles. We will live in purity. We will have boundaries. We will have accountability. We will. That'd be a fun relationship. All the girls are like, yes, yes, amen. I'll be taking an offering now. I'd like to launch my program. I'm just kidding. Right? Isn't that amazing? And you know what, guys? You'll actually be free when you're doing that. You'll actually respect yourself. You actually have confidence for your future. You'll feel safe. You'll feel in love. It's amazing. All right. Can I go for a few more minutes here for a moment? Okay, I got so much I want to say, so I'm going to condense it as quickly as I can. We've already said so much, so let me just conduce what I want to do today. I'm going to say a couple different things. Number one, that we're not talking about incremental change and then it's always going to be horrible. Yes, there may be a battle in some aspects of your life, but Jesus leads us into overwhelming victory. And so what kind of expectation should I set for you? I want to set an expectation that Jesus wants to lead you into overwhelming victory. And what does that mean? Do I ever get anxious sometimes? Yeah, I get anxious sometimes, especially when I'm paying my bills. But it wears off in about an hour, whereas before, it never wore off. I think I'm walking in victory. I used to think, care what all of you thought, and like I was at the mercy of everyone's thoughts. Now I don't care at all. And maybe care once in a while, but maybe that's a good thing. Like it keeps me behaving good. Right? Like I used to be a really angry person. It was like literally you touch the bull's going to go crazy. Like some of you, how many of you are so sensitive? Like you feel a little disrespect and you want to throw hands. Don't raise your hand. All right. Don't raise your hand and don't throw hands. All right. So, right. It's like, dude, no, you can be led to overwhelming victory. What about those thoughts? You hate yourself. Like, I just want to say, I know there's counselors. I know there's all these things. I want to encourage all that. But I want to say this, is the power of Jesus should, I believe, can set anybody free from suicide. I cannot accept that, oh, you know what? That's outside of Jesus' jurisdiction. And you just have to live with suicidal thoughts. I believe that Jesus can lead you into freedom. He may do that through this series, he may do it through Christian counseling. He may do that in a moment in power. I know there's many ways, but I know this, you shouldn't be living with that torment. Some of you just actually would say you're tormented, and you don't even know what it is. You just live tormented. I don't believe that you should be tormented. I actually believe you should be walking in freedom. I don't think that you should be afraid of being alone because you might self-harm. There's no way I believe that that's God's highest for you. And I believe that Jesus can set you free. What about addiction? I do not believe that you, for the rest of your life, just going to be a part of an accountability group that you fail every week. I believe there actually is real freedom from real addiction. Some of you are never going to touch alcohol again. God is going to help you. Some of you are never going to touch a drug again. God is going to help you. Some of you are never going to look at pornography again. He's going to help you. You just need to cooperate and do whatever it takes and surrender to his will and follow him. And Jesus wants to give you an overwhelming victory. Now, I want to maybe end on 2 points. First one is this. This is not just about changing our psychology. It's not. There actually is a real enemy. And actually, if you believe that, your life begins to make a lot more sense. Because John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So right now, you need to know from the minute you were born, the enemy has been set against you. And what's crazy is like we are slow to believe God. Demons know to believe God. The Bible says that demons even know that Jesus is God. But they're just in active rebellion. So demons are like, not to scare you, but they know what's up. So maybe you don't believe your life is important, but they know you're important. That's why they've been working against your grandpa, your dad, and now you to destroy the family history. That's why they were waiting at 10 years old for someone to introduce pornography to you. That's why they were there to invite you into self-harm. That's why the enemy was there to tell you that you were nobody. That's why all those bullies kept telling you that you were nothing and never going to be anyone. That's why that mean teacher told you that you were stupid. And you still believe it today. See, it's not just that people are randomly mean. No, the enemy wants to orchestrate a life for you that you would take on a false identity and a false purpose and be separated from Christ. But Jesus came to free you from the hands of Satan. See, some of the bad things that have happened to you all of a sudden start to make sense if you go, huh, I wonder if all the suffering I've been through, because on the other side of it, the devil must be really afraid. Because if I figure out who I am and why I'm living and what my purpose is, maybe I'm going to wreak such havoc. Such havoc on the enemy. He's been so scared. He's been playing unfair since I was 2. Because the enemy's not fair. The enemy's the kind of guy who throws hands when you're on the ground. And when you're unconscious, he keeps kicking you. He wants to steal everything from you. He doesn't just want to hurt you. He doesn't want to just hurt your feelings. He wants to kill you. That's why I don't mess around. That's why I stay in black and white. Because I'm like, dude, if you're living over there, the enemy's over there. Stay away from him. He's dangerous. Get over with Jesus. Because when you're with Jesus, you are full of so much Holy Spirit power that what used to be a giant, that thing becomes an ant. Or that thing used to control and dominate your whole life. Now in Jesus, the enemy is just something to step on and move behind, move beyond. In fact, the biggest enemy, the biggest hard part is changing, not actually rebuking the enemy. That's almost the easy part. That's what happens when you're in Jesus. See, I want to invite all of us. We're talking about revival. We're talking about acceleration of evangelism. We're talking about a Holy Spirit outpouring. But I think connected to that is if we want the Holy Spirit to come closer, we want to share the message of Jesus. That means we have to let Jesus come into our hearts and do real heart surgery and really change things. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. We live in California. The band can come back up. We live in California. There's some cultures in California. I think it's okay to talk about it out loud. Let's have a family meeting. If you don't live in California on the live stream, we love you. We don't know what your problems are, where you're from, but you're welcome to have ours or avoid ours, whatever you want. See, in California, what's amazing is there's kind of like this thought of like, people are so desperate for people to love Jesus. It's like we just open the door and we just hope that you come in and just hope you kind of hold on to an arm of Jesus. We say things like, which I love, like you belong before you believe. And we say things like, you know, just keep journeying with God. And I love all those things. But if we don't say that there is an accuser, if we don't say that there's an enemy, that there's something very real that wants to take you out, we're not telling the whole truth. So we want you to come hear about Jesus. I love that. Tons of people followed Jesus all around when he was alive on the earth that did not believe in him. We want you to come. We want you to be able to come all the time and hear about God. We love it. But I'm not going to let you come and not tell you that something's trying to take your life out. Now, there's a battle over your life. And so there's this idea that we can live in complete carnality and brokenness and expect all the benefits of Christ. And we believe that we're following him. You're not. You're not. You're not. I just want to tell you, you're not following him. If you're living however you want, if you're doing whatever you want, but saying you love Jesus, that is not Christianity. And I love you enough to tell you that. Because I want you to be free. I am fighting for your freedom. I have a friend, and in college, his youth pastor told him that, you know what, go to college and party a little bit, have as much fun as you want, and then come back to Jesus. Like, kind of take Jesus off your college years. Can you imagine that kind of advice? Like, what is that about? But that's kind of how we live with Jesus, on and off, on and off. And we almost treat God like a doctor to help us in emergencies. It's like you got the craziest toothache. How many of you have ever had a horrible toothache before? It's the worst, isn't it? You got a headache. You're scared of the drill. You know you got a call. Then you go and you get it fixed and you're good. You don't brush your teeth. You don't floss. You don't do anything. You don't listen. And the next person, you got to go back and you fix it and tons of money. And there's tons of repercussions and all of these different things. We do the same thing with Jesus all the time. See, Holly Mosman, she's back there. She's one of our leaders in our ministry. She's one of our senior leaders. Amazing woman of God. We should hear from her sometime. And she gave this powerful message to our staff on the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord means that you actually believe what God says. The fear of the Lord means that like actually stuff in the Bible is true. And that when you mess around with darkness, darkness may take you out. It doesn't always work out in the end. See, I know people that died messing around with the darkness, and I don't know what happened to them. I hope they made it with Jesus. I don't know. It's only up to God, but I know for me that created an urgency in me to go, I don't want to be messing around in the gray and get to Jesus. And he's like, dude, what were you doing down there? You're like, well, I loved you. I loved you. You didn't love me. Can you imagine if you're in a relationship with somebody and you have the most amazing date once a week? Like, so fun. 3, 4, 5 hours long. You can't stop talking. You even start crying on the date, like, of how much fun you have. And you leave the date and you're like, man, this is something special. I want to be about this. But then throughout the week, you talk to 3 other people. And you say you're like together, but you tell the people you're not sometimes. And you tell the people you are. And you go party with other people sometimes. You go party over here and you go do this thing over here. And then you show up back on Sunday and the person you're dating is like, hey, you don't love me. Like, you're around with all these people. No, I do love you. I do love you. I do love you. Like, didn't I cried. I said I was sorry. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. 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 Okay, I'll give you another chance. But see, that's what we do with God every single week sometimes. We do that to God for years, but there has to be a moment where we got to be honest of like, I don't really love God. I love myself. And I'm just afraid to say that I love myself more than God because I'm afraid of what would happen if God's not in my life at all. And I just want to keep him in a little bit. Tonight, I want to have a line in the sand moment because if we're venturing into freedom, you got to be wholehearted and surrender. If we're venturing into freedom, there's a line in the sand where you can't just love God. You have to love God. And you know what? In our generation, you're always going to find another voice that tells you you can sin and follow God. They're all over TikTok. They're all over Instagram. You'll find one on YouTube, but you'll also find weirdos that believe in aliens. And you'll also find in crazy, you're like, aliens aren't real? No, I don't think so. You know, like, there'll be people online that have crazy conspiracies and all kinds of things. You can't listen. You got to go back to this book. You got to go back to what Jesus actually said. What Jesus actually said. And Jesus said, the way is narrow. But the road to destruction is wide. Come through the narrow gate. There's one way to me. It's through me. Jesus is the guy where the rich young ruler, which would be like the Orange County, Mercedes driving, trust fund master, which if you want to give me all those things, I'm open. And you're in a service like this. You're like, Jesus, I want to do anything to follow you. And he's like, give away all that and just follow me. I'm enough. And the guy goes, I can't do that. And he walks away in the story. And you know what's so crazy is Jesus doesn't run after him and try to convince him. Jesus is pursuing you. Jesus is loving you. But there is sometimes when we've been around Jesus for a while, there's a line in the sand and he's going, hey, do you want to follow me? It's okay you have brokenness in your life, but you got to say you want to follow me for real. I love this definition of repentance. It's from Mike Bickle. He says, repentance is a declaration of war on sin. I mean, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like fake like you're not broken or really struggle with a bunch of bad stuff. But you do have to go, I've declared war on it and I do mean business. And if I fell, I got back up and I kept running forward. Versus I'm just toting the Jesus card to do whatever I want. I don't mean to be tough. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just trying to fight for your freedom tonight. I want to do something just real bold for a moment. We got to just start breaking stuff off of all of us. Some of you are so tormented by fear. I feel like tonight, if you've kind of had this in and out life, in and out life, in and out life, and you're like just ready to go all in and just fully surrender. I don't know if it's a bad season or what's been going on. I just feel like tonight's your night for like a public declaration of surrender. And so on the count of 3, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to stand up wherever you are. And I'm going to wait for someone to stand up, because I know there's some people that need to surrender to Jesus. And I just want you to like break, like just go public. Don't be like, you know, Instagram bio Christian anymore. Be like, follow Jesus. Like, follow Jesus. So on the count of three, I just want you to stand up really boldly wherever you are. Your like heart's like pounding in your chest. You're like, no, I'll just make a deal with God on the way out. Nah, I blocked that. I already made a deal with God. He's making you stand up right now. So Lord, we just pray right now. I ask for every person in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're after hearts and you're serious about freedom, Lord. And Lord, tonight some people need to cross over the line of surrender fully to Jesus. God, we ask that you give them a boldness that as they would stand, it would be a declaration. I'm done with my old life. God, give me a new one. God, I'm so sick. You know, some of you, you might have, like, everyone thinks you're really Christian, but you're privately struggling so bad and you've been resisting God. And just tonight you just stand like declaration. God, I just am so done being bound privately. I just want to be free. I want you to stand up too. So on the count of three, if you're just desperate for that freedom and you're ready for full surrender, I want you to stand. Ready? One, two, three. Stand up wherever you are. Just go ahead and stand up. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just want everyone to close your eyes. Just wherever you are, if you're standing, close your eyes. If you're sitting, I just want you to extend a hand to someone near you. For the next number of weeks, we are fighting for each other's breakthroughs. We are praying and crying out for freedom. We are going to be the voices of encouragement. We are going to be prophetic voices of freedom. And if you're standing up, I want you to pray this with me. Say, Jesus. Come on, pray with me. Jesus, forgive me for every way I've been running from you. Forgive me for every way I've wanted to hold on to sin. Hold on to my own leadership. I want to give the leadership to you. I don't want to be an Instagram bio Christian. I want to be yours. I want you to lead every aspect of my life. Jesus, I surrender to you. I got one more crazy call. Just stay standing if you're standing. Just stay standing if you're standing. I feel like some of you in the room, like you have been fighting for a breakthrough and you cannot get free. It could be self-hatred. It could be anxiety. It could be depression. It could be bitterness. It could be jadedness. It could be rebellion. It could be partying. It could be addiction. I don't care what it is. And we're going to break off the stigma of needing freedom tonight. The stigma, like, you know what? If you need Jesus, I need Jesus. I'm standing. I need Jesus. There's areas of breakthrough I need in my life right now. I just want you on the count of three to stand up and just, this is a declaration saying, you know what? God, I don't care who knows it. I'm just desperate for freedom. On the count of three, I just want you to stand up. Ready? One, two, three. Just stand up if that's you. You're just desperate for freedom. You're just desperate for freedom. Come on. Come on. I just want you to close your eyes. I just have like this vision. I just like this picture, like Jesus grabbing your hand. He's like, can I take that? I want to walk you into freedom. I want you to open your hands right now if you're standing. Just open your hands and close your eyes. And here's what I want to do. If you're sitting down, I want you to pray out loud with me for 30 seconds. We are going to ask God for the Holy Spirit to begin to bring breakthrough in every single person's life. If you're standing, just say, Jesus, I receive it. And we're all going to start praying over you right now. We're going to all start contending for a breakthrough of freedom. Are you ready to start praying? Here we go. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Everybody sing, let's start praying. Jesus, we ask over every man, over every woman in this room. I ask that you, by your blood, would begin to break the chains of bondage off of every single person. God, I pray over the next coming weeks, Lord, that you would bring a freedom that they have never known. That you would bring a freedom they've never known. Jesus, impart faith. Jesus, impart the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, impart grace over every person.
bonus round. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying this is unrelated to our series, but I just want to see God heal people because I hate sickness. Can you just like stand and raise your hand if you have a chronic sickness? Just raise your hand if you have a chronic sickness. Wow. Chronic sickness, just keep your hand in the air. Just the person next to you, just put your hand, ask if you can put your hand on their shoulder. But don't crowd around people, just the person next to you. We're gonna pray. Every week we're gonna be praying for healing until we start seeing a breakthrough for healing. Because this is part of what Jesus came to set us free from. Lord, we pray right now. Let's all pray together for healing to break out in this room. Jesus, we ask right now for every chronic disease, every autoimmune disease, every area of pain, every area of chronic pain, scoliosis, God. We ask, Lord, that you would bring healing to every sick body in Jesus' name. Every undiagnosed mystery disease be broken off. Diabetes, break it off, Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, pour out your healing power. Come on, for 30 seconds, I want everyone to lift your voice. Say, Jesus, pour out your healing in this place. Come on, 30 seconds, I want to hear everybody's voice. Come on, lift your voice in prayer. Lift your voice in prayer. Jesus, we ask together right now for your healing power to be poured out in this place. Come on, can we all stand together? We're going to worship. We're going to pray a final prayer. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody together. Jesus. I'm ready for more freedom. Lead me. Come on, lead me. Come on, we got to get this. Lead me. One more time. Lead me into freedom. I declare war on everything holding me back from your love and freedom. Are we ready to worship? Go ahead and fill the front. Every week we're going to do three things. We're going to see people Jesus set free in these nights. We're going to pray for healing, and we're going to ask God's love to be poured out on people as we worship. So tonight, if you're wanting a fresh move of love in your heart, you want God to just fill you with love, go ahead and come to the front as we worship. I'm going to pray as we start to worship. Jesus, I ask tonight that as we would begin to worship for these last 15 minutes, that Jesus, you would pour out your love on your sons and daughters. God, every way we would feel blocked, every way, Jesus, that we would feel hindered, Lord, break it off. Break it off. All the dullness, God, everything blocking your love, God, break it off. Release your love in this place. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the Circuit Rider Podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at crmovement.com. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or to see what's happening across the nation, follow us at CR Movement on Instagram. We'll see you on the road.